Hey guys, and welcome back to another Schlock and Awe Quickie Review. As always, I'm Lindsay Wilkins. And this week, we're going back to the first. Well, not really the first. This is more like the sixth. So, the first movie in the series is now the original. But this is the first Omen.
There's this girl at the orphanage. I think that she really needs someone to look out for her.
Carlito
suffers from a touch of madness.
You must be very careful, Margaret. Bad things will start to happen around her. Evil things.
It's all for you.
No, don't. What does any of this have to do with Carlito?
Church has maintained power for thousands of years. It will stop at nothing to keep it that way.
So yeah, we're going to be talking about the first Omen out in cinemas everywhere at the moment. It is directed by Akasha Stevenson for her first feature. It is starring Nell Tiger-Free, Sonia Braga, Bill Nighy, Ralph Ineson. Yes, Ralph Ineson might be my most watched actor this year. And a whole host of others. Yes, we are doing The Omen. It's all for you, Damien. Actually, I think I'm butchering that line, but cue nurse hanging herself off a building. I only came to the series for the first time last year when I finally watched Richard Donner's original 1976 Omen. Though being a horror fan, of course I knew all about it. I already knew not to trust anyone called Damien. But of course, the first thing I knew about it is the kills. It is especially the famous, it's all for you, hanging herself, the priest, Father Brennan, getting a iron massive pole through the head, like it was a javelin. And of course, David Warner being decapitated with a glass pane of glass. These are indelible images if you like horror. And yeah, the first movie is the coming of the Antichrist, a little boy called Damien. This is why Richard Donner is a very good director, because he knew people are going to go see this movie, one, because of The Exorcist, but two, it is to see if Atticus Finch or Gregory Peck will kill his son, no matter how evil or who he thinks he is. That is the crux of the movie. That is why you go see The Omen. And then when you see The Omen, you realize, holy shit, that movie's really good. And actually got really creepy. I mean, you've got a Jerry Goldsmith score. It's big, it's brass, it's got scary baboons doing things to Lee, trying to do things to Lee Remick. A little boy who barely speaks but looks really creepy. It's who they found in England somewhere where they were, actually, were they in, I'm pretty sure they were in England for most of it. Or Rome, I can't quite remember. I wish the third one was Sam Neill. Before I went and saw the first Omen, not the original Omen, which is, look, it's probably not as good as the first and second, but man, if you want to see Sam Neill rail against Jesus Christ, that is your movie. But yeah, we're here to talk about Akasha Stevenson's first full feature narrative debut. She has made some shorts. She has been involved with the show Channel Zero. Another blind spot that I've only heard good things about, so I need to get into that, into those three seasons. It's a prequel. So, in one sense, this movie is a very rote-by-numbers narrative that you can't, you, if you know the note Omen, you know where it's going. On the other hand, this movie's kind of spectacular. I think this movie is going to be an amazing litmus test, depending on how you watch movies. And I think this movie is purposely reintroducing the idea of what The Omen is. It's using already established IP, but it's for audiences, because I found one today who did not even know what The Omen was. Most people at least know, oh, Omen, I've heard of that. No, they did not know what The Omen was. So I had to explain, David Warner, pane of glass, little boy. Lee Remick, then I had to explain who Lee Remick and Gregory Peck was. It was a very depressing conversation. But now we are going to Rome, to 1971. Young to be soon take her vows nun, played by Nell Tiger-Free, is moving to Rome to live her life as a nun. And when she gets to that nunnery, of course, there are weird things happening. But is it all in her mind? Or is there actually something weird? And is that little girl over there? What's going on with her? I mean, yes, I can see this movie getting compared to Immaculate a lot. But a woman giving birth against her will is not exactly a new storyline. Some places are seeing that storyline come back again. Spoilers for a prequel for a 50-year-old movie. It's about the birth of Damien. The movie's trying to play this game not very well of going, oh, there's going to be the reveals. And if the movie wasn't made as well as it was and is beautifully imagery and scary and intense, it would you just be sitting there for 2 hours going, I know what's happening. I know what's happening. Oh, wait, now you're revealing. Oh, that is not a reveal. So the movie does really put its hand on the, oh, we know what's happening. On the other hand, this movie is gorgeous. Watching it was kind of like one of those things when the first few minutes when you see two priests having a conversation and you get a very typical omen death, which is, okay, Damien is essentially, because he's the Antichrist, can make things happen. So he's essentially, it's like very final destination deaths, like a Rube Goldberg machine that kind of builds up. Not as insane as, say, some of them are, like the, oh, there's one in a kitchen where about 16 things happen. I think it's three. And all of a sudden the house blows up and you don't quite know how it got there. Not quite like that. But it is, death is coming for these people who are trying to investigate what's happening. And so this is that. So these are the weird things that are starting to happen. But when you first see this movie and you see the imagery of someone in a hood, kind of hardly breathing, being tied up, and something really bad is happening, and the whole thing looks like it was shot in 1971. I mean, you can tell it was probably digitally changed why they were doing it. It's not like they were actually using an old 35 millimeter film to actually make it look like 1971, but it looks like you're kind of like you're watching a 1971 movie. And if you want to tickle my interest, you do that. There's this beautiful death in slow motion and all these pieces are coming together and you're leaning forward and going, oh shit, did they just make a Good Omen prequel in 2024? Yes. Yes, they did. And the movie goes on from there. Okay. Nell is wearing the most distracting wig ever. And I was getting really annoyed with it because I'm going, why have you put her in this awful wig? Until I realized the hair, when she's lying down, can sometimes do this tendril thing, like it's kind of surrounding her head and almost looks like the snakes of Medusa are coming out of her head. Or how she uses shadow, and because it looks all gauzy and wonderful, it looks otherworldly. And this is kind of what I wanted from Immaculate. I wanted Immaculate to really show the body horror of pregnancy. And I also really wanted to show the fact that Gothic, that you were in these cathedrals in Rome, dim lights, gorgeous mosaics, oh, in frescoes. And this is kind of that movie. It looks like a fresco at times. And also frescoes are throughout the movie because we are in Rome. Yes, the text paintings are working well and we are still in Rome. But this is one of the few movies I've seen over the last 18 months that have been going to Rome because I've got a good tax break to actually use Rome. There's Rome and the Catholicism and the history and the rituals are kind of baked into this movie. So it kind of surrounds everything and kind of guides to where everything is going. And it's all mixed in the same bowl. In The Omen, Satanism and Catholicism are two completely different, separate entities, the good and the bad. And that is what runs through the whole entire series, especially the first three. I haven't seen the remake since 06. I don't remember loving it. I've never seen the TV movie. Actually, technically, I've only really seen half of the second one, but that cast is banger. Seriously, it looks great. Again, Jerry Goldsmith score, amazing. But this movie is kind of, Satanism and Catholicism are exactly the same. Sexuality and faith are the same. Sexual gratification and pain are the same. Are the way that the woman, that usually when they're giving birth, there's two sequences. They're giving birth, technically three. Anyway, they're always tied up very much like bondage. the way the straps and the stirrups are kind of used and the instruments, but there's an ecstasy to the whole thing. And there's an amazing sequence with Nun taking her vows that the way it's shot and with the music feels satanic. And I loved every moment of it. This is a movie that is not going to pull away. In fact, it's going to go do a whole series of shortcuts. Then you see the thing. And I love that. It's just, this is horrific. So we're going to show you the horror. It's like, if Immaculate is, everything is in the shadows and it's only hinting at things. Again, I do like Immaculate. And that last shot is amazing. This one's going full the thing and just go, oh no, we're going to show you what this thing is. And I love it. It is all about female bodies. It is all about how they work and how they fit into Catholicism. And this notion of a nun going out and partying before she takes her vows, because she needs to appreciate what she has before she locks them away. And it takes time to show you how people interact within this, this orphanage where it is set. It's only brief moments, but they all work to show you this sort of sense of community. People just kind of laughing and giggling and getting along and acting natural until it all goes all horribly wrong, because we are still in the Omen universe. Universe this is. Yes, there are a few story points that I absolutely was like, oh, really? We're going, that's the reason? Or, oh God, we're doing that? I mean, there's a weird thing the movie does where you think it's going to reject the whole premise of Damien. Not the sense that this is where the story is going and Damien is going to exist, but it is not about that focus, because it is very much, again, life of the mother versus life of the child, and how it's always the life they're giving, not the life that is there. It really pulls into that focus. And then it kind of undoes it at the end. Yeah, I think that final scene in friggin' Black Panther 2, it's always about the son. But I really love this movie. The texture in it, the way it's shot, I just want to give a shout out to the cinematographer, Aaron Morton. I know he's also worked on things like Evil Dead 2 2013, that remake. So it's got that dark, bristling, textured thing about it. And I absolutely love it. And as I said, with how Rome is sort of baked into it, the Catholicism, also what was happening in Rome in 1971. Again, it's not hugely influential in the movie, but it's there. Rome was on fire. This was an era where everyone realized how corrupt the government was and how closely it was to the mafia. It was a time of protest. It was a time of terrorism. It was a time of different political forces trying to battle their way to see who was going to win. And it was an insane time to be in Rome, because they were searching for another identity and weren't entirely sure what it was. Corruption was rife. And how do you trust old institutions like the church when everything you know is corrupt? I mean, yes, this repeats every 30 years, obviously, or it just never goes away. And then people suddenly look at it and go, hang on, that's not right. But it is all about these power structures, which I think has always been kind of in the Omen, and they've never really taken full advantage of. Okay, if this is the greatest evil in the world, Damien, what does that actually look like? And how does he actually maneuver power structures? If there are more Omen movies, which this one is definitely hinting at, I would like to see more of that, but I think it's going to be much more something. I think it's going to be more feminine, which I am all for. But Damien's always going to come friggin' back, because he is the Omen. But this movie is gorgeous to look at, and it is in the Omen tradition. I really did like the kills in this. It is, they are not specifically random. They are sometimes often referencing back to other kills. The best one, I think, is from Omen 2, which I now need to see the rest of, because, oh, that movie sounds like it's going to get crazy. Yeah, so it is a flawed narrative, and the script isn't always great, but I really loved the performances. Nell Tiger-Free has a really cool young Claire Danes quality, like these big wide eyes that are just taking in everything, especially when she can't trust her brain anymore of what she's actually seeing, whether it's all in her head or there's something manifesting that she doesn't understand. You know, Ralph Ineson, I mean, he's always great. He is a character which people might have issue with if you really love the Omen, especially in canon. I'm not that fussed. He did get a lot of the clunky exposition, but he's rough innocent, so he can take it. Bill Nighy is usually really solid. Sonia Braga is, as a sinister nun, is a great sinister nun. I love her. This movie is really worth a watch. I think if you go to a movie for the experience, for the texture, for the visuals, and the mood, this is going to hit all the right buttons. If you watch a movie that is, okay, I just want the story to make sense and I want beat by beat by beat, it may not play for you. And then you might. This movie is about imagery. Immaculate keeps. I've heard Immaculate compared to Italian, classic Italian horror. I've never seen that. This is Hammer horror. This is. I'm surprised Michael Ripper isn't in a pub on the corner of the cathedral serving beers. But it's not there. This feels like how they would shoot Italian movies in the 70s, the way that they would replay around with the gothic and play around with the violence and set certain scenes. I mean, it's not completely that. And so maybe Immaculate and The First Omen are the Italian battle of Malignant and Last Night in Soho, how you think what you think of Italian movies are. But I would definitely go recommend seeing this. I think it is. I cannot wait to see what Akasha Stevenson does next. I really can't. I think she is a talent to watch. I think the way she blocks, the way she imagines things, the way she creates surreal moments and its nightmarish imagery is fantastic. And I think she's definitely going to be someone to watch coming up in making movies because this is really, really good. I actually want to see this movie again. And now I'm worried because after the 4K of The Exorcist came out, I had to try buy all the Exorcist movies, except for Believer and Dominion. I can't do it, though. I will do it with the Omen. I mean, that is 1, 2, 3. Maybe not the remake, but definitely 1, 2, 3, and this one. So I'm gonna go broke. So yeah, definitely go see it. This is a beautiful movie. It is stunning. It is so. I love a movie with texture, and this has so much texture. Yeah, I'm gonna stop ranting because all I can say, this is good, and I think people should go see it. There are quite a few blink and you'll miss it moments, and they are, oh boy, they're amazing. Shock and awe on all the pods. If you want to ever listen, again, Shock and Awe 1 or Reading Geek on all the socials, and we will be back at some point with another quickie review. All right, thanks guys. Bye.